want you to cast your minds back to the account in Matthew. A Gentile woman comes to Jesus, quite desperate, pleading. Her daughter is afflicted with demons, and she asks his help, and initially he doesn't even reply. And then she pleads again, and he says, well, you know, I'm here for Israel. You know, we don't cast bread before, you know, the dogs. But she comes back at him again. And then her daughter is healed. Well, I'm a Gentile woman. And Jesus, at this point, is in Gentile territory, actually for the first and only time in his ministry. We sometimes forget that, don't we? This is the only time he ventured out of territory that was not occupied by the Jews. And so it's a bit puzzling and confusing and perhaps a bit hurtful to learn of this episode. It's here amongst the things, though, that Jesus said and did, and that is the series that we've been studying, so we can't just choose the nice bits. We have to hear the bits as well that maybe are not so nice to our ears. So why would Jesus react to a foreign woman this way? To a woman who desperately needed his help? And it's actually no time at all since he was just challenging the Jews on their purity laws, saying that it's what comes out of your hearts and out of your mouths that's unclean, not the things that you eat or the people that you associate yourselves with. Is this the Jesus who said, knock and the door will be opened to you? Well, this woman has come to, quite frankly, bang down the door, hasn't she? And his disciples are saying, oh, for goodness sake, send her away. She's embarrassing. She's just following us. She's yelling. She's, you know, she's making such a fuss. But, you know, rather like the incident with Elijah and the widow of Zarephath that we just heard, this incident is kind of a bit of one of those times when there's a slight slip in the space-time continuum. And a sneak preview of what is yet to come. When Jesus says he was only sent to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, he's establishing that he has come to fulfill the law and the covenant that God had with his chosen people. He wanted them to know quite clearly that was his purpose. And that's all he ever preached, was the kingdom of God. And that he was there to fulfill that. So Israel is not to be displaced as God's people, but instead they are to be the promise bearers to the rest of the world after Jesus' death and resurrection. But this brave and bold and desperate Gentile woman comes calling, and furthermore, she calls him by the Jewish messianic title. Son of David. Son of David. She knows who he is, even if they don't. And it's as if she's saying, you know, come on, Israel, then, do your job. Aren't you supposed to be God's people? Aren't you supposed to be those who heal us? And in the very curious conversation that follows, there are some who suggest that there might have been just something of a wry smile on Jesus' face as he just tests her out a little bit. It might seem to us a bit like a kind of a cruel, like a cat plays with a mouse. But I think he's just trying to tease something out of her and demonstrate something to the other people there. You don't take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he taunts. Well, for the Jews, to call someone a dog is just about the worst insult you could have. They used to talk about the Gentile dogs, and later the Christian dogs as well, actually. But that referred to the kind of filthy, scavenging dogs that used to roam about in the street. But actually the word that Jesus uses is here for a dog is a bit more like, I'm not sure they had household pets, but certainly a dog that was in the household. This is not the street dog he's talking about. It's maybe the family pet, think of it that way. And of course, this sharp-witted woman has this perfect comeback for him. She thinks, okay, I'm going to persevere here. And she says, well, you know, even the dogs in the house can have, you know, some of the scraps, can't they? And acknowledging her perseverance and her great faith, she receives that blessing for which most others will have to wait. And if I weave my own journey of faith into this woman's journey, I notice some similarities. And I just wonder if maybe you do too. When I was a little girl, I don't know how it came about, but I still have it, a tiny little book, a beautiful little old illustrations of a Monday to Sunday, or Sunday to Monday, I can't remember, little book of children's prayers. And that was my treasured possession. I didn't have many books, but that one was my treasured possession. And then learning, you know, like we all do, what your name means, I discovered that my name meant consecrated to God. And once I'd actually gone to a dictionary and found out what consecrated meant, I thought that was fantastic. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want. And then hearing the stories of Jesus at school, and actually sneaking off to church on a Sunday morning with my brother, without our parents. I knew what I wanted. I knew where I belonged. But I didn't quite know yet how. And people didn't quite tell me how. I was still an outsider. And then later, when my brother became a Christian, I wanted that too. But it still eluded me. And it seemed that when I knocked on the door remained closed. And later, as student friends, Christian friends, told me about the gospel, and they spent hours showing me the Bible, explaining things to me, and I was thinking, this is good, this is great, but... And I knocked on that door, and it still stayed shut. Until one day, and in the shower of all places, it was like heaven opened, and it opened up a crack, and the gift of faith was passed out to me. It was the gift that I had sort of wanted all my life. But I needed to really want it. And I think, as I look back, that time was not wasted. And sometimes, you know, I've sensed that slight wry smile on Jesus' face too. You know, do you really love me? Do you really love me? Do you really want me? And maybe you recognize something there that applies to you too. Perhaps a long unanswered prayer, or a need even for the reassurance of your own salvation. Persevere. Knock, and the door will be open to you. It's just that it's up to God when. And so, either with great faith, or with tentative faith, or almost no faith, we're going to stand together and we're going to say the words of the Creed, which